Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in Daniel. We've been covering Daniel chapter 7, and this particular study will cover verses 20 through 26. In this last study on Daniel 7, we will cover verses 20 through 26, which is Daniel recounting what he had seen in his vision concerning the fourth beast and the rise of the little horn. Because these verses are a recounting of the vision that Daniel had already told us about in the earlier verses of Daniel 7, most of what we have here is a review of what we have already studied, but with some new tidbits of truth here and there. Daniel begins with a recounting of the fourth beast with 10 horns and another horn which came up and subdued 3 of the 10 horns. The appearance of this little horn was greater than the others, and he spoke great things. He even made war with the saints, or the elect, and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days, Yahweh, came in judgment of the world on May 21, 2011, and judgment was given to the elect. Then Daniel is told the interpretation of these things, namely, that this fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which is different from all kingdoms, and it will devour, tread down, and break in pieces the whole earth. Furthermore, the 10 horns are 10 kings that will arise, and the little horn is another king that shall arise after them, who subdues 3 of the 10 kings, and is different from these 10 kings. It is this little horn who is a king that speaks great words against the Most High, and he not only wears out the saints or the elect, but he changes time or seasons and laws of Holy Scripture. The saints or the elect are even given into this little horn's or king's hand for a time, times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment did sit on May 21, 2011, and the elect are taking away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Well, let's begin with verse 20 and go through each one independently, as we normally do. Verse 20 reads, "And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." In this verse, Daniel is recounting what he saw with respect to the fourth beast in his vision. And the first thing he says is that it had 10 horns in its head. Because we are told in verse 24 that the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, we know that the 10 horns are symbolizing the complete rule of this fourth beast. As the number 10 symbolizes completeness, and you can click on the number 10 to see this, and a king symbolizes rule. So, 10 kings symbolize complete rule. Then, we are told that another horn came up, before whom 3 of the 10 horns fell. What is this telling us? Since we found that the horns represent kings, this other horn which came up must represent a king as well. And because 3 of the 10 kings fell before this other king who came up, which left 7 kings of the original 10, we are spiritually being told that it is God's purpose in that 3 kings, and you can click on the number to see that it is God's purpose, that the complete rule of Satan as symbolized by the 10 kings was perfected with the coming of this other king as symbolized by the remaining 7 kings. And you can click on the number 7 to see how this is. And because we had learned in verse 8 that this other king who came up is the little horn, who we had learned is the false Christ, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who took his seat to rule in all the churches to bring judgment against them for their trespasses beginning on May 21, 1988. We can say that it was God's purpose that Satan's rule over all the churches during the Great Tribulation was perfected with the rule or coming of the little horn or king, who was Satan ruling in all the churches as the man of sin, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ. He came with all signs and lying wonders to deceive those who are in all the churches. And no wonder, for Yahweh sent to them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, in order that they might all perish who loved unrighteousness more than they loved God. Now, Daniel recounts that this little horn or king not only had eyes, which is a description of the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, that was revealed to be ruling in all the churches beginning on May 21, 1988, but we are told that he had a mouth that spoke great things. Indeed, he had no shame in speaking the very words of the Holy Scriptures as if he were God himself, and so he blasphemed the name of Yahweh. He used the very words of Yahweh along with the miracles that he was permitted to do to deceive all those in the churches to worship him rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Finally, in this verse, Daniel recounts that this little horn or king had a look more stout than his fellows. A better translation might read, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And we can understand just why this little horn or king appeared greater than the others, because he had completely conquered all the churches, which is something that had never been done before. Indeed, Satan had never been able to completely conquer all the churches until May 21, 1988, when he came as this little horn or king who is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, and he took his seat of rule in all the churches as Yahweh's instrument to bring spiritual wrath to the disobedient. Yes, with the conquering of the holy people, Satan appeared greater than he had ever appeared before. But he had no idea that this was only temporary, for on May 21, 2011, Satan was spiritually deposed, his dominion was taken away, and although a portion of his rule has been permitted life for a time and season, Daniel 7:12, he is now on death row awaiting his execution on the last day when Satan and all the other fallen angels or demons will be destroyed forevermore, along with all those billions of people who were never saved by the eternal and unconditional love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moving on to verse 21 of Daniel 7, we read, "And I beheld, and the same horde made war with the saints and prevailed against them." This verse is straight out telling us that this little horn made war or battled with the saints, who are all the elect, and prevailed against them, which is just another way of saying what we had already learned, namely that the elect were spiritually stamped upon or killed during the Great Tribulation. They were not literally or physically killed, but they were spiritually killed, which means they were silenced from being able to bring truth in all the churches, and they were treated as if they were false prophets, when in fact they spoke the truth. Namely, that Yahweh had brought judgment upon his own house by releasing Satan from the pit to become the man of sin who took up his seat of rule in all the churches to lead them all astray into eternal death, while the elect were commanded to depart out of all the churches so that they would not be destroyed along with all those destined to perish. To this day, everyone who have remained in the churches have been being bundled for the fire to be manifest on the last day. And Ezekiel prophesied that we would call all the churches in these days the valley of the multitude of Satan, as we read in Ezekiel 39, verse 11. And you can see a full exposition of this verse by clicking on the link, Ezekiel 39:11. But let's read the verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude. And they shall call it the valley of Hamengog, which, when translated, means the valley of the multitude of Gog. And Gog typifies Satan. So the valley of the multitude of Satan. So why not be a fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy and call all the so-called Christian churches what they really are, the valley of the multitude of Satan? Let's say it again. The valley of the multitude of Satan, which might lead to the question, if all the churches are the valley of the multitude of Satan, how could they be doing so much good in our communities, such as providing soup kitchens and food boxes for the hungry, such as providing counseling service for the troubled, such as providing for clothing needs of the poor, and apparently providing many other services for the community as well? The answer is simply this: yes, they may do all that, but they do not provide for the spiritual and eternal needs of the elect. Their gospels are not the gospels that can eternally save anyone, and many of their teachings are nothing more than the teachings and commandments of men and Satan. Therefore, they offer no eternal benefit, but they instead lock people onto a path which leads to death. So, as far as the temporal needs of people, the churches do offer some relief, of which we, the elect, are thankful. But insofar as the spiritual and eternal needs of the people, they have nothing to offer but death. And it is for this reason that we call them the valley of the multitude of Satan. Satan is the father of death, and all the churches are his children, for they only know how to lead people to eternal death by setting them on a path to eternal destruction ever since the Great Tribulation in 1988 began. Well, let's move on to verse 22 of Daniel 7. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Here we are being told that the little horn, Satan, made war with the elect, and he prevailed against them during the Great Tribulation that began on May 21, 1988. But this was only until the Ancient of Days came on May 21, 2011, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Now, obviously, the Ancient of Days did not literally come so that we could see him on May 21, 2011, but he spiritually came in judgment as the judge. And as we learned earlier in the context, the books were opened in verse 10, and he did sit in verse 9 as the judge to make judgment on all those who stood before him in verse 10, which was all those in the world who were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And, of course, since the whole world was found guilty of sin, they were all condemned to death, which would be seen either in the normal course of their lives when they die, or on the last day when all those who are in the graves and unsaved will come forth to damnation, and those who still remain and are unsaved will be cast into the eternal fires of annihilation. Now, we are told that judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. This was, of course, because the saints, who are one and the same as the elect, had their sins paid for when Christ suffered the judgment of death on the cross on their behalf in 33 AD. Therefore, the elect were accounted as sinless or righteous, and in this sense, judgment was given to the elect, not because they were found good and sinless in themselves, but because Christ had paid for all their sins through death on the cross. That is, Christ suffered death for them, that they would not have to suffer death, but instead be given eternal life. But all those who had not Christ as their payment for sins, they were judged to death, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Next, it is interesting to contemplate what it means that judgment was given to the saints. Does it mean that judgment was given in their favor? Or does it mean that judgment was given to them to judge the world? I think it is both. Remember what we were told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Yes, as we the elect follow our Lord and proclaim judgment on the world and churches with the end to eternal salvation for everyone who were not saved by May 21, 2011, we are judging the whole world. We are telling them that they are destined for eternal death, that it is now too late for any of them to become saved for all eternity. But they will all now perish forever when they die, whether it be in the normal course of their lives before the last day, or on the last day when they will all go up in flame, never to see life again. Indeed, the whole world now has nothing to look forward to but eternal death. And it is the job of the elect to make all this known. Yes, we who are the saints, namely all the elect, have the awesome task of judging the world as we are faithful to our Lord and to the teachings of Holy Writ. Then finally we read, "And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." The time which came is not referring to May 21, 2011, but rather to the last day when the elect will come to possess the new heaven and earth. Currently, the elect already possess the kingdom spiritually, in a sense, but on the last day they will possess the kingdom of the new heaven and earth as well. Yes, the time being declared when the elect will possess the kingdom is on the last day. This is the day when the elect will obtain their new resurrected bodies, and when the elect will then come to possess the kingdom in the new heaven and earth, where all dominions will serve our Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 23 of Daniel 7. Let's read verse 23. It reads, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." In this verse, we first read, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth." The number four revealed in the fourth beast and in the fourth kingdom mean that this fourth beast is worldwide and this fourth kingdom is worldwide. And you can click on the number four to see what it symbolizes. And since this fourth beast refers to the rule of Satan, what we are being told is that the worldwide rule of Satan is a worldwide kingdom. And further, that this worldwide kingdom or rule, we are told, is upon earth, or literally, in the earth. The word earth can be translated as the land, And in the Bible, it often refers to the land of Israel, which we know spiritually symbolizes the spiritual land of all the churches. Remember the verse that says to depart out of the churches when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place? Flee from Judea. Judea was a part of the land of Israel, and it represents spiritually the churches. So in that Satan's worldwide kingdom is upon the earth means that it is in all the churches. That is, this fourth beast is Satan's worldwide kingdom or rule in all the churches. Then we read that this worldwide kingdom of Satan in all the churches shall be diverse from all kingdoms. That is, it will be different from all other kingdoms. And how is it different from all other kingdoms? Well, by being a kingdom which rules in all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, as we had learned earlier in the context of Daniel 7 in a previous study. Now, this worldwide rule of Satan and all the churches, we are told, shall devour the whole earth. Once again, the word earth can be translated as land, and it refers to all the Christian churches. So that what we are really being told is that the rule of Satan and all the churches will devour the whole corporate church, which means he will devour every single last one of the Christian churches, which is exactly what he did during the Great Tribulation. He devoured them all by feeding them false gospels and false teachings that they consumed to the point that they consumed to the point of death because the Holy Spirit had removed himself from their midst, which allowed for the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, to rule over them in all the churches without any protection from Yahweh. So, the churches were spiritually devoured by lies, and this was a judgment against them for all their years of not listening to the word of Yahweh, but instead going their own way in all so many things. But not only were all the churches devoured by the rule of Satan in the churches during the Great Tribulation, but we are told that they were tread down in broken pieces as well. Notice the series of three things: devoured, tread down, and broken pieces. This series of three things symbolizes the purpose of God. So, it is the purpose of God that the rule of Satan and all the churches during the Great Tribulation would devour them, tread them down, and break them in pieces. Symbolically, it's all saying the same thing, that all the churches would be spiritually destroyed by the rule of Satan in them, which they were from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 during the Great Tribulation. Moving on to verse 24 of Daniel 7. This will be verse 24. The study's a little bit longer than normal. It'd probably take about 50 minutes total. I just hope that our attentions can stay firm. But verse 24 reads, here we have repeated what we already learned in verse 8. Let me read the verse first of all. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. Here we have repeated what we already learned in verse 8 of Daniel 7, and then verse 20 of Daniel 7 of this study, namely that the 10 horns out of Satan's kingdom in all the churches during the Great Tribulation are 10 kings. And because 10 is symbolic of completeness, and you can click on the link to see this, and kings are symbolic of rule, these 10 kings symbolize the complete rule of Satan which arose in all the churches. Then we are told that another horn or king shall rise after them. We learned in verse 8 that this horn is called the little horn, who is Satan, and he subdued, in verse 24, or plucked up by the roots, in verse 8, three of the 10 horns or kings to leave 7 remaining. This symbolism tells us that it is the purpose of God, as symbolized by the 3 horns or kings which were subdued, that the complete rule of Satan, as symbolized by 10 kings, is perfected, as symbolized by the remaining 7 horns or kings, in the revealing of the little horn or king, who is the man of sin, the Antichrist, Satan, seated to rule in all the churches during the Great Tribulation. And you can click on the link, Bible Numbers 3, 10, and 7, to see that this is what they symbolize. Finally, in this verse, we are told that this little horn is diverse or different from the first horns or kings. How is he different? Well, first, we learned that he represents the perfect rule of Satan in the churches, whereas the first horns or kings represent the complete rule of Satan in the churches. Also, the little horn is said to have eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things in verse 8. That is, he was seated to rule in all the churches on May 21, 1988, as the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, the false Christ, and he spoke great things. Namely, he pretended to speak the word of God, which is great, as if he were God, and deceived the people in thinking that he was God. So, we see that the rule of the little horn was different than the rule of the other horns or kings. Verse 25 of Daniel 7. This will be verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. In this verse, we are first told that he, the little horn or king, shall speak great words against the Most High. These great words are the words of the Holy Scriptures, and they are spoken against the Lord because the little horn speaks them as if he were God, and he even uses signs and wonders. And he changes their intended meaning, that is, the meaning of the words of Scripture, just enough to make them into a false gospel that could deceive even the elect, if that were possible, Matthew 24:24, which means that he comes with a gospel so close to the truth that he is able to deceive all the churchgoers into believing that they are following Christ, when in actuality they are following the little horn, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, and without knowing it, being led to their deaths. For Yahweh sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, because they loved unrighteousness more than they loved God. Now, we read that this little horn shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And no wonder, for he was changing the word of God in all the churches, so that everywhere the elect would go, they could not find a church that did not have great high places or seriously false doctrines. Indeed, it was difficult to find even a semi-faithful church in those days. So the elect were not able to find a real home in the churches, and this made them weary. They found themselves constantly upset about this false doctrine and that false doctrine, and they did their best to reveal the truth to others in the church, but they were met with anger and disapproval, to the point that many were asked to remain silent or to leave their church. In one way or another, the elect were silenced from bringing truth in the churches, and the whole process spiritually wore out the elect to the point of extreme exhaustion. I remember how it was for our family back in those days of the 1980s on into the 1990s, just before and into the Great Tribulation. Almost every church that we went to would not let me minister for one reason or another. One church would not let me minister because they allowed women to teach men in the missionary school within the church, and began allowing certain women to teach in the evening service, which I found that to be blatant disobedience to the Lord, and they didn't like that. Furthermore, their evening worship service was becoming more and more Pentecostal-like or charismatic, with the speaking in tongues and certain people having direct revelations from God in a dream, vision, or voice, and I became contrary to such lies. Soon, one of the pastors of that church told me that I should find another church, and so we did. But this next church became very dispensational premillennial, to the point that the leaders couldn't trust anyone who was not of the same persuasion. Then another church required me to agree with their statement of premillennial dispensationalism to become a member, which I could not do. And other Reformed churches required that I hold to infant baptism to become a member and minister, which I could not do. It seemed that everywhere we went from the 1980s into the 1990s excluded me from the ministry in the churches. So I became very discouraged and wary with it all until the Lord finally revealed to me what was going on. That Yahweh's judgment had come upon all the churches in 1988, and the Lord was commanding me to depart out from the churches. He didn't want me to minister within the churches because His wrath had come upon them all, and He wished to spare me from the spiritual plagues being brought upon her. Leave it to say, I left the churches with a real experiential understanding of what it means that the little horn shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Next, we are told that this little horn, who is the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, shall think to change times and laws. Instead of teaching that judgment had come upon all the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, he taught that it was a time of blessing and that the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon the churches like never before. Instead of teaching that salvation had ended in all the churches during the Great Tribulation, he taught that people were becoming saved in the churches like never before, and that revival had come or was soon to come. Indeed, the little horn completely flip-flopped things around from what they really were, and by doing so, he thought to change the times or seasons. Even now, in Judgment Day, Satan has deceived all the churches into thinking that people can still be saved, that we are still in the time of sowing, that we are still in the gospel or church age, when in fact we are not. According to the little horn or Satan, we are at least 1,000 years away from the end of the world because Christ has not yet returned to rule for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. But the truth is that we are now right at the end, and the 1,000-year reign of Christ is symbolic language only that refers to the entire church age from 33 AD to May 21, 1988, when the end to the church age came, and not to the last 1,000 literal years of the world. And you can click on the link Revelation 20 to get a lot more information on this being the truth. So, we see how Satan or the little horn has changed the times or seasons. But he has also changed the law of the Holy Scriptures. He teaches that there are good reasons for divorce and remarriage, even if the spouse is still living. But the Holy Scriptures, when rightly understood, do not. He teaches that women can be pastors and teachers of men in the churches. But the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, do not. He teaches that Yahweh is still giving divine direct revelation apart from the Bible. But the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, do not. He teaches that the church age has not yet ended, but the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, does. He teaches that salvation is still possible, but the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, does not. He teaches that Christ died for the sins of everyone, but the Holy Scriptures do not. He teaches that all or many will be saved, but the Holy Scriptures teach that few will be saved. He teaches that salvation is up to the free choice of an individual, but the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, teach that the salvation of an individual is completely up to God alone. He teaches that Christ atoned for sins at or before the foundation of the world, but the Holy Scriptures teach that Christ atoned for sins on earth on the cross in 33 AD. He teaches that we are not yet in Judgment Day, but the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, does. He teaches that judgment has not come upon all the churches, but the Holy Scriptures, when rightly divided, does. And we could go on and on with many laws that Satan has managed to change. But leave it to say, we see clearly how Satan or the little horn has thought to change the law of Yahweh. Now finally, in our verse, we read that they, that is the elect, shall be given into his hand, that is the hand of the little horn, until a time and times and the dividing of time. To be given into his hand is symbolic of being given to his will, because the hand is symbolic of the will. So our verse is telling us that the elect were given over to the will, or the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the little horn, in all the churches during the Great Tribulation, until a time and times and the dividing of time. This time and times and dividing of time could be translated as 3.5 years. And it appears to symbolize the entire 23-year Great Tribulation period from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. We read about this same period in Revelation 11, verse 9, where we read, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their," that is the elect's, "dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Once again, this appears to be referring to the Great Tribulation period, when the elect were not physically killed by the churches so that their dead bodies could be put in graves, but they were spiritually killed or silenced so that their bodies could not be put into graves because they were still physically alive. But nevertheless, the elect were silenced from bringing truth in all the churches. Notice that this verse speaks of the Great Tribulation period as being 3.5 days. 3.5 days. Whereas the verse in Daniel 7 speaks of it as 3.5 years. If we take a time, times, and dividing of time as being translated as 3.5 years. This is possible because days in the Bible are sometimes made equivalent to years. For instance, we read in Numbers 14:34, "After the number of days in which we searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise." And again, in Ezekiel 4, verses 4 through 6, we read, "Lie thou," he's talking to Ezekiel, "lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, I have appointed thee each day for a year. So, 3.5 years and 3.5 days can be equivalent, and can therefore be symbolizing the same period, which they appear to be doing in this case. Neither of these numbers can be taken literally, but both are simply symbolizing the Great Tribulation period, which we know was 23 literal years long. And you can click on the link Proofs for all the tons of proofs of it for this. We also read of the Great Tribulation period in Daniel 12:7, where we read, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half." Again, that can be translated as 3.5 years. "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." And again, we read of the Great Tribulation period in Daniel 12:11, where we read, "And from the time of the daily sacrifice," from the time that the daily sacrifice, actually the word sacrifice is not in the Hebrew, just the word daily, and it refers to the daily candlestick that had to be burned continuously. So, "And from the time that the daily shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And if we convert these days to years, it comes to, you got it, 3.5 years. So we see repeatedly that the Great Tribulation period is symbolized by 3.5 years in the Old Testament, but 3.5 days in the New. And this is possible because days can be equivalent to years and years to days, as we considered in the Holy Scriptures. Moving on to the last verse that we'll cover in Daniel 7. There are actually two more verses after this, but I'm not going to cover those because they're fairly self-explanatory. And we've got the main gist of everything by this time. But verse 26 reads, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end." Now, in the previous verse, we were told that the little horn during the Great Tribulation would wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. "And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time," which we found can be translated as 3.5 years, which symbolizes the 23 literal years of the Great Tribulation. But in this verse we are told, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion." In other words, even though the elect were given over to the will of the little horn during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, to be spiritually killed or silenced in all the churches, "the judgment shall sit, and they," and that's referring to the elect, "shall take away his dominion." When did this happen? Why, we already learned that the Ancient of Days did sit to judge the world on May 21, 2011, in verses 9 through 10. So, this must be when the judgment did sit, and the elect took away the little horn's dominion. But, how could the elect have taken away the dominion of the little horn, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan, on May 21, 2011? Well, they didn't themselves, but Yahweh did. But because the elect are the ones who declare this to be as the messengers of Yahweh, they participate with Yahweh in the taking away of the little horn's dominion. And there is a sense, therefore, in which the elect are taking away the dominion of Satan as they declare to the spirit realm and to the whole world that Satan's dominion has been taken away. Now notice that the elect take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. So we can see clearly that the end is not yet even, though the Ancient of Days has sat and brought judgment on May 21, 2011. There is still a period after May 21, 2011 to consume and to destroy unto the end. And this is what the elect are doing as they proclaim the end to the dominion of the little horn, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan. They are consuming and destroying him unto the end as they make known to all that his dominion has come to an end. Nevertheless, as we had learned in the previous study, part of Satan's dominion still lives, as we learned in verse 12, which states, just for our memory, so we jottle our memory a little bit. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. And we know that was on May 21, 2011. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And as we mentioned in our last study, this is why we can still see Satan ruling and doing sinful things, and why there's so much evil still in the world, and so on and so forth. Well, in conclusion, in the recounting and interpretation of Daniel's vision, we see that the fourth beast represents the worldwide dominion of Satan over all the Christian churches. And it was the purpose of Yahweh that this rule or dominion spiritually devour or destroy all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Its ten horns, we are told, are ten kings, which symbolizes the complete rule of Satan during the Great Tribulation. And in that, another little horn or king came up and subdued three of the ten kings to leave seven kings remaining, symbolizes that the complete rule of Satan during the Great Tribulation was perfected with the coming of the little horn or king. This little horn or king had eyes because he represents the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan, who took up his seat of rule in all the churches, beginning on May 21, 1988. This little horn or king spoke great words against Yahweh as he spoke the words of God through men as if he were God. But he twisted the words to mean something other than what they were intended, and so came up with false gospels and teachings which led all the churchgoers on a path to eternal death. During this great tribulation, the little horn or king battled against the elect and prevailed against them. He spiritually wore out the elect by making it very difficult for the elect to find a spiritual home in any church due to all the false teachings being expounded and the high places of false doctrine. Indeed, he changed the times and seasons and the law of Yahweh, which in battle brought the elect to great fatigue. But this all came unto an end when the Ancient of Days spiritually came as the judge on May 21, 2011, and judgment was given to the elect, so that they began to participate with Yahweh in bringing judgment to the world through their proclamation of his words from the Holy Writ. And it is by their proclamation that the elect have currently been taking away Satan's dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end, as it is making known to both the spirit realm and the world that Satan's dominion was taken away by Yahweh on May 21, 2011. So be it to the end. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace.